One big change we've seen over the last decade or two with respect to nuclear weapons is it's much more accessible to individual people. This is something that all through the Cold War and for decades was mystical and secret, and not anymore. I mean, after the fall of the Soviet Union and revelations about our own nuclear weapons complex and factories, this has put it back into the democratic, small d, hands of everyday citizens. We all have not only the power to do something about it, but I feel the responsibility to do something about it. So the reason I'm up here is that we have a national challenge on our hands. We all have heard about the super committee and the fiscal challenges we face, the economic challenges. Our Congress, our White House are looking for places to cut spending. And one of the most, I think, ripe areas to do that is with nuclear weapons. Not only do we spend an extraordinary amount on these weapon systems every year, but we don't need to. We can cut quite a bit from them without damaging or diminishing our national security one iota. And so I want to let people in Alaska know that your senators, your representative, has every bit of as much traction and right to say something about this as anyone else.
Is this the same argument that Plowshares was making before the economic crisis? Or it seems like the ground may have been prepared to make exactly this kind of case for the cost savings in reducing our nuclear arsenal. But the case has always been there for a reduction, hasn't it?
I think the case has always been there from a policy point of view. I mean, in 2007, there was an article, there was an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal that talked about the rationale for eliminating nuclear weapons worldwide. And normally you would say, okay, well, that's very nice. There's always been calls for abolition. The difference is the four people who wrote this were Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, two icons of sort of the conservative security establishment, and former Senator Sam Nunn, and Bill Perry, a former Democratic administration defense secretary. These guys are not naive. They're not lightweights. And to have that extremely sort of legitimate bipartisan consensus saying, for our security, for U.S. security, we should be on a path toward getting rid of these weapons is pretty phenomenal. That was before the financial crisis. So the security rationale, the policy rationale has always been there. Now we have a situation where, boy, our checkbook is under a lot of pressure. And we spend roughly $50 billion a year on the weapons and the weapon systems that deliver them. Do we need to be spending that? I think the answer is no, but I think I want to have that conversation with Alaskans.
In the past, our nuclear weapons were referred to as our strategic nuclear arsenal. Does Plowshares believe that they're no longer strategic anymore?
Conventional weapons these days are a quantum leap beyond what they were in the 50s and 60s and 70s. We've seen these incredibly precise and long-range drone strikes in Pakistan, for example. We have laser-guided munitions. We saw what almost seemed like a video game in the Gulf War and in Iraq. And so the U.S. has a military capacity and sophistication far beyond any threat from a nation state that you could think of. We spend more than the next 15 nations combined. And of those 15 nations, about 12 of them are our allies. So not only would I submit that conventional deterrence is sufficient, but the strategic nuclear deterrent used to be aimed at the Soviet Union. We don't have any kind of a threat or a nation state out there today that our nuclear weapons are actually deterring. You're not going to deter the Taliban or Al-Qaeda with a nuclear weapon. So there are two fundamental shifts. One is the fact that we can deter traditional threats by conventional means, and you can't deter what the actual threats today are with nuclear means.
Earlier this year, North Korea tested a missile. Does that not fall under the category of something that needs to be deterred?
Not yet, and here's why. North Korea, and I've been to North Korea twice, their threat really to U.S. security, first of all, is non-existent at this point in time. They have a handful perhaps 6 to 8 crewed nuclear devices that are not deliverable by a missile. They've tested 3 long-range missiles over about 20 years, none of them successfully. Now, I don't want to dismiss the threat. They're definitely slowly working on improving their capacity. The real threat from North Korea is proliferation. These guys will sell anything to anyone, and that's where we need to be focusing our attention. And in terms of deterring North Korea, I feel there's a more effective path. We really need to be back at the table with the North Koreans, working to resolve 50 years of this sort of frozen conflict and getting them into the fold, so to speak, of the international community. North Korea is sufficiently deterred by our 30,000 troops in South Korea and by the conventional capacity we have there.
You hear so much about America's prestige, our loss of prestige, and isn't a nuclear arsenal wrapped up in that? I mean, aren't we conceding something in the eyes of a large segment of the population when we give up, you know, the thing that we've been best at since the end of World War II?
I can understand that psychology. I think what's important to understand are a couple of things. The world nuclear arsenal, the number of weapons that exist in the world today is around 20,000. 20,000 nuclear weapons. Between Russia and the United States, we own about 96% of that. We were the first to develop them. We were the first and, in fact, only country to ever use them in war. And yes, we were the first. We had the largest arsenal. We have the most accurate missiles. But if the idea of deterrence is to never use these, it's sort of a false ego, if you will. I would suggest that now where we really should be taking pride is in leading the world in managing these risks. There are hundreds of tons of nuclear materials out there in the former Soviet Union that present a risk to us. And the United States is leading on that front. We hosted a nuclear security summit a year and a half ago. There's going to be another one next year in Asia. We've got plenty of other things we can take pride in. And I would suggest that one of those things is, you know, we started this. Now, it was a very different situation. It was World War II. There was an imperative. But we ought to be the ones to lead the world out of the nuclear abyss.
I think conventional thinking now about terrorism suggests that one possibility that remains out there is that terrorists will be able to get their hands on some former Cold War weapon or some some existing part of the arsenal in some part of the world, maybe the former Soviet Union, and use it against us in a very unconventional way, in a vehicle, right, perhaps. Does the effort of Plowshares to try and bring the nation back from nuclear armament in any way undercut or undermine our ability to deal with this potential threat?
I think it's just the opposite. Our national labs, the Los Alamos Lab, the Sandia Lab, both in New Mexico, the Lawrence Livermore Lab, these were the crown jewels of U.S. science, and they were the sort of the vanguard of our nuclear weapons and our national security for years and years. These are the same experts that know how to detect nuclear materials, that can develop the infrastructure and the expertise to detect and find and determine where things come from. They don't get much funding to do that kind of thing. What they get most of their funding to do is to caretake our current warheads. So it actually would reinforce the efforts to lock down and secure those loose nuclear materials if we were to invest in the scientists refocusing their efforts on things like detection and security. I read just this morning, apparently there was some interdiction in Moldova, one of those former Soviet republics, where there were some people selling up to a kilogram of highly enriched uranium. That's an awful lot. When you only need about 20 kilograms or so to make a small nuclear bomb, you're 5% of the way there. That's pretty frightening. So I would suggest that it actually, rather than undermine that goal, it's the opposite. It's really about making investments in the right side of our science and nuclear capacity rather than a side that is antiquated.